I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is June 28th, 2014. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's show is taken from the About page of Ken Ami, host of the website truefreethinker.com. He begins by quoting a Bible verse. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, verses 31 and 32. Ken, I prefer these two verses that Jesus spoke to those Jews who believed in him. Quote, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Matthew 16, verses 27 and 28. Well, Ken, it's 2,000 years later, and we now know that Jesus lied to them. If the truth shall make you free, as Jesus said, then the truth of knowing that Jesus lied has set many former ghost worshippers free. Too bad you weren't one of them, Ken. He wrote, "Below you will find information about me, about True Free Thinker, and about how to book me for lectures." Ken, if I ever want my kids lectured on fairy tales, I'll be sure to consider your offer. He continues, "My name is Ken Ami. True Freethinker presents my writings. I am an Argentinian American, a Jewish Christian, an essayist, and lecturer. While I was raised in a 100% secular manner..." Ken, I'm sorry to hear that. That removes all possibility of trying to place the blame on your parents and puts the entire burden of your failure on you. Ken continues, "I did attend private Jewish school and had my bar mitzvah in Israel. Only secular Jews may be able to understand this oddity. I was also involved in the New Age movement and was a practitioner of Reiki, Tai Chi Chuan, Qi Kung, and the I Ching." Ken, so in addition to your religious delusion, you've also got a host of other bullshit sloshing around in your head. A psychiatrist would have an easier time with the labors of Hercules than trying to troubleshoot the tangle of wiring in that skull. Ken wrote, "The True Freethinker website consists of a combination of a few different blogs that I was authoring. The main ones were the Christian apologetics blog, Life and Doctrine, and the contra-atheism blog, Atheism is Dead." See, Ken, that's what I meant earlier when I referred to your delusions. The fastest growing segment of the population, atheism, both here in the U.S. and worldwide, is, in your mind, dead. Could you possibly be any more divorced from reality? That was a rhetorical question, Ken. He wrote, "The concept of free thinking is deeply rooted in the Bible itself." Ken, I'm going to have to give you a timeout. From dictionary.com, free thinker, a person who forms opinions on the basis of reason, independent of authority or tradition, especially a person whose religious opinions differ from established belief. Synonyms include skeptic, agnostic, and atheist. See, Ken, it works like this. You don't get to define words to make them mean what you wish they meant. According to the dictionary, you are as far from being a freethinker as Donald Sterling is from receiving an NAACP award. Ken continues, as in the Bible, we find firm belief, we find doubt, we find skepticism, we find rebellion, we find every facet of human reactions towards and against the divine. Some people label themselves skeptic when they really mean cynic. Ken, that's why I don't really like the term skeptic. One example would be global warming skeptics. They believe the exact opposite of what the actual skeptical community believes. I prefer the term rationalist. Ken wrote, I, for one, became a true and honest skeptic upon finding out that the teeth mice, Argentina's equivalent of the tooth fairy, were not real. My parents had told me a quaint story about them leaving money for my teeth. Ken, you sure set the bar awfully low. You found out that the tooth fairy wasn't real, so you promoted yourself immediately to full-fledged skeptic. I would call that a good first step. However, your failure to apply that same skepticism to your religious beliefs proves that you never went any further after the trauma of learning the truth about those quarters under your pillow. He continues, at a very young age, I found out that they were not real and that my parents, with good motives, had deceived me, and I became furious. Ken, you got furious with your parents because they dashed your dreams about the tooth fairy? Holy shit, dude. No wonder your mind is like a sack of leftover pork chops. He wrote, how pleased I was to find decades later that the Bible enjoins true and honest skepticism. Ah, whittle Kenny feel all better now. You lost the tooth fairy, but now you've got someone better, another invisible friend. Ken continues by quoting Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, end quote. In the New Testament, the Berians are considered more noble or more fair-minded for double-checking everything that Paul told them in Acts 17, verse 11. Ken, here is Acts 17, verse 11. Quote, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. End quote. Ken, they weren't more open-minded. They were simply more open to scriptural brainwashing. That isn't the same thing, Ken. He wrote, Thomas asked for the evidence, which the others had seen, and had merely retold to him. John 20, verses 24 through 30. Ken, it doesn't sound like you've ever read Hebrews 11:1. Quote, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. End quote. I guess Thomas pretty much failed the faith test, huh, Ken? He wrote, Jesus stated, love the Lord your God with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Hey, Ken, why don't you tell everyone what God will do to them if they don't? He wrote, we are clearly called to discern, test, and judge. Ken, but if you don't reach the proper conclusion, it's off to the big barbecue. Now Ken quotes 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. Ken, I like this one better. Quote, judge not, that ye be not judged. End quote. Matthew 7:1. So Ken, should we believe your verse written by Paul, or my verse written by the Son of God? Ken writes, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discerning of spirits. Ken, I think he meant to write distilling of spirits. Now Ken quotes 1 John 4:1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Ken, each and every one of you ghost worshippers is a false prophet. There isn't one speck of evidence anywhere on the planet to prove that your delusions exist anywhere outside your heads. There is just as much evidence for your tooth fairy or teeth mice. But Ken, between those two ghosts, you should have stuck with the nice one that gives money to little kids, rather than the nasty one who brags about all the people he's murdered and the billions he plans to torture. Ken wrote, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies." Hey Ken, check out this prophecy from Genesis 22, verse 17. "That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore." Ken, contrary to the prophecy, the Jews are one of the smallest ethnic groups on earth. Even the Mormons outnumber them, and the Mormons didn't even get started until the 19th century. I guess that's what they mean by like father, like son. Neither one of your invisible ghosts has been able to predict squat. Ken said, "Much of what passes for free thought and free thinking today is in reality atheism wearing a very thin disguise." Ken, a disguise is unnecessary. As I documented earlier, atheism is a synonym for free thought. That's what makes it so hilarious when you try to pass yourself off as a free thinker while simultaneously having conversations with your imaginary friends. He wrote, "The first section of the parsed essay, Free Thought Without Forethought, serves as evidence of this. In that case, it is clear that what is meant by free thought is adhering to absolute materialism. If a Judeo-Christian cannot be a free thinker, then free thought is not free thought, but demands adherences to certain restrictive parameters." Ken, that is true of everything. To be classified in a certain category, one must meet certain requirements. As for free thinking, Ken, you miss the cut. He continues, "Yet since the Judeo-Christian can think beyond, for example, materialistic parameters, we can be true freethinkers." No, Ken, freethinking does not include delusions. Reread the definition. Ken wrote, "Atheists who have commandeered the term freethought." Ken, atheists didn't commandeer the term freethought. Noah Webster did. Continuing, "Complain that Christians cannot be freethinkers because they adhere to the Christian worldview." Ken, atheists are not complaining. We are just fine with the definition as it stands. You are the one bending yourself into a pretzel trying to redefine the word. He wrote, "Yet they commit the same alleged fallacy by adhering to atheism in disguise or openly." Ken, atheism is not something you can adhere to. It is a rejection of religious bullshit, nothing more. He wrote, "Certainly there are true and honest freethinkers on both and many other sides of the issue." Ken, not according to the definition. He wrote, "It is to these that this website is dedicated." Ken, your website is to freethinking as fracking is to renewable energy. And Ken Amee's About page concludes with, "Feel free to contact me if you wish to have me present one or more lectures. As you can see from the contents of True Freethinker, I have researched a great variety of religions and worldviews, so feel free to recommend a topic and set up a lecture or series of lectures." Ken, the only way I would ever try to convince someone to attend one of your lectures is if I wanted to punish them. Now run along and play with your imaginary friends. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I have a couple of pictures of Ken Amee taken from his website. And now we move to the science segment. Today, sleep behavior disorder linked to brain disease. Researchers say a sleep disorder that causes people to act out their dreams is the best current predictor of brain diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Rapid eye movement sleep behavior disorder, RBD for short, is not just a precursor, but also a critical warning sign of neurodegeneration that can lead to brain disease. In fact, as many as 80 to 90% of people with RBD will develop a brain disease. As the name suggests, the disturbance occurs during the rapid eye movement stage of sleep and causes people to act out their dreams, often resulting in injury to themselves and/or bed partner. In healthy brains, muscles are temporarily paralyzed during sleep to prevent this from happening. It's important for clinicians to recognize RBD as a potential indication of brain disease in order to diagnose patients at an earlier stage. This is important because drugs that reduce neurodegeneration could be used in RBD patients to prevent or protect them from developing more severe degenerative disorders. This research examines the idea that neurodegeneration might first affect areas of the brain that control sleep before attacking brain areas that cause more common brain diseases like Alzheimer's. And now we move to the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today we have an anonymous quote. Since the Bible and the church are obviously mistaken in telling us where we came from, how can we trust them to tell us where we are going?
Are you ready, Bruce?